Hello, Miner fans. Welcome once again, and thanks for tuning in to another Picks Up podcast exploring the sports, stories, issues, and personalities associated with UTEP athletics. I'm John Teicher. I hope that you and your family are well. Continued thanks to all of our healthcare professionals, first responders, and to all on the front line whose efforts are so significant and much appreciated. As spring football is underway at UTEP, the culmination of which will be the spring game on Friday, April 9th, what we all hope will be a normal 2021 season is not far off, with the Miners scheduled to open on August the 28th against New Mexico State. When UTEP does take the field for the first time, they will do so with a new voice leading their defense. The Miners' new defensive coordinator is a Texas native from the Beaumont area and boasts more than 30 years of college coaching experience, ranging from the Southland Conference to the Sun Belt, from the old Southwest Conference to Conference USA to four different schools in the SEC. He's pretty much seen it all. Bradley Dale Pivato is with us to discuss his career and his plan for UTEP on the defensive side of the football. And Bradley, thanks for joining us. Welcome to El Paso, to UTEP, and to the UTEP football family.
Well, thanks a lot, John. It's been wonderful, man. I got out there on January the 24th and jumped out of my car with my hair on fire and just had a blast so far, man. UTEP is a great place. I've sent everybody that I know, friends, family, the view from my office, just how beautiful that stadium is and the sun coming up. I've enjoyed the players. I've enjoyed the people. I've enjoyed El Paso, man. It is a neat place, and the culture is so cool. And I tell you, I don't know that I've ever lived anywhere where the people are more kind and more generous and just want to help. So my first 6-7 weeks out there has been really cool.
Well, being from Texas yourself, is there any place better to coach football than the Lone Star State?
It's really not. You know, again, I've been very fortunate. I've lived in a lot of neat places, coached in some great states, but nothing greater than the state of Texas. The Lone Star State is just so many players, so many great coaches, so many great programs. I mean, you and I couldn't do it justice sitting here talking about it in an hour, but just really, really as good as it gets as far as the high school football is concerned.
We'll get to football in just a second, but let's find out a little bit about your family. Tell us about your family, and are they with you here in El Paso yet?
You know, not yet. We're waiting to do that a little later. I got a daughter, Peyton, that's a freshman at A&M. I got a son that's a freshman at College Station High. My wife of almost 25 years, Melissa, who has been a great coach's wife and done a great job with her kids. I've been very fortunate. And when you meet her, you're going to see why I get great coaching jobs, because if a guy as ugly as I am can marry a woman as pretty as my wife, it says one thing about me. I am a good recruiter. So
As they say, you outkicked your coverage, huh?
Oh, I outkicked my coverage times about two. She's something else, and very, very fortunate, and she's a lot of fun. You guys will really enjoy her, and she's going to get out for the spring game. But I got my son's a 15-year-old, so he still can't drive. So, she's busy carting him and five or six other kids, you know, somewhere every day. And when I was off last year, I did that, and it's really a lot of fun, but you know, it's a lot tougher than you think. It's very time demanding. So but she's done a great job with that, no doubt.
Is your son a football player?
He is. He plays football, basketball, and runs track here at College Station High School. So it was fun to get to see him do everything the last year, and I got to go watch him. I was in Lufkin, Texas yesterday at a track meet, which I can legally go to because he was running in it, so that was a lot of fun. And got to see all his basketball games, all his football games this past fall. So I really enjoyed that. You know, it, in some ways it shows you sometimes what all you're missing out there, not getting to see all that, but I really enjoyed it. No doubt about it.
When the school year's over, will he and your wife be joining you here in El Paso?
You know, we're working on that, John, to be honest with you. We go back and forth, you know, we love it out there, and they're going to come out and look around, and then we're going to make a decision whether they stay or come out. But, you know, kind of torn, to be honest with you. Like I said, you know, he's here, been here now for 3 years and got a lot of friends, and, but I've loved it so much. They're going to come out, here this spring, and, we're going to go look at some schools and look around and try to make the best decision for him at that point, you know.
Boy, that's the toughest part about coaching, isn't it? For the families, you know, obviously for you, you just go right into your new environment. But for the families, they've got friends where they were, and asking them to relocate and reacclimate, it's a little bit more challenging for them, isn't it?
It is. You know, my daughter, who was more of an academic type kid, you know, she made the comment the other day. She said, well, y'all didn't worry about what I thought when y'all moved me. Well, she wasn't an athlete, and she was, you know, really good with her academics. But we, you know, we've always felt like we were leaving great places, going to the next cool place, great place. And, the one thing we always told her, you know, we weren't going to let her stay for social reasons, you know. But with my son, we feel like it's a little different, you know, due to the fact that, you know, he is tied up with a bunch of guys he's been with for 3-4 years now. And we feel really good about it. And, you know, in the craziness sometimes of the coaching business, you know, I plan on being at UTEP a long, long, long time. You know, I love Dana Demo. I love the university. I've loved the town, the culture, the people. I mean, it's as neat a place as I've ever lived and coached. And, but you know, sometimes you just never know how long that's going to last. And just trying to make the best decision for him for the next, I mean, if you take this year out, he's only got 3 years left. But like I said, what we're going to do, they're going to come out, we're going to look around, we're going to go look at a couple of high schools and just try to figure it out. But it is a tough decision with all the factors involved. You know, you want to make the best decision for him and his future. But to be out there would be great. And like I said, I've never recruited in El Paso. I've just lived there since January 24th. So we just have to go out and look around and see the schools, meet the people, and let him meet some of the coaches. And that's on our agenda to get done this spring.
Well, we'll be anxious to meet the gang. Let's dig into football now. When Dana did reach out about your willingness to join him once again, this time in El Paso, initially, what was your reaction?
You know what? I said, I'll take the job, you know, for a couple of reasons, John. You know, I as you and I've talked about, I've played out there, played in Sun Bowl, played out there in college. I actually played UTEP twice, once out there, then once in Dallas in Texas Stadium. And I always had a lot of respect for the program. They've had some great head coaches over the years. There's been a lot of good runs, you know, guys that have won a lot of games, and I just always have had a lot of respect for it. And when I went out there and stayed in 1983 for a week in the Sun Bowl, the way we were treated, you know, I played in some, I've as a player and a coach, I've been able to play and had the luxury of playing in some great bowl games. But the Sun Bowl will always and has always been to this point my favorite bowl as far as how we were treated, the game itself, the city, the hospitality was just second to none. We actually went over to Juarez and had a lot of fun back in that day. And just my memories were great. So, you know, when Dana asked me to come out, I mean, and have a chance to coordinate again, you know, Dana Dimmel is one of the best head coaches I've ever worked for so many reasons. He's also a great coach, but he's even a better guy. His wife, Julie, we just always loved in their family. But, you know, I knew one thing, that I knew what I was getting with Dana, and I worked for him 3 years before. And this, the chance to go to work for him again, to come in and work for a great staff, and a lot of them I knew, and have a chance to coach at UTEP and be its defensive coordinator, was just almost too good to be true. So I jumped on it. I didn't even ask him how much. I said, I'll take the job. And I've just, you know, I've had a blast. I mean, I've loved our players. I've loved our, you know, we've got 6 days of spring ball in it. It's just been wonderful, man. I can't wait to get back out there Sunday and go to work on Monday. And it's just been a blast. I can't even tell you how much I've enjoyed it. It's been great.
You worked alongside several of the current minor assistants while with the Houston Cougars, Dave Warner, the Miners offensive coordinator, Joe Robinson, the special teams coach, Theron H., who coaches inside wide receivers, and of course, Barrick Neely, the Miners running backs coach, who was the Cougars quarterback at that time. So lots of familiar faces on this staff.
There is. You know, we joke, said, man, we almost got the band completely back together. But no, they're all the all those guys you just named, incredible coaches and incredible people. I mean, just really, my days at Houston with all of them, we had a lot of fun. You know, Dana never got credited for that big turnaround that they've had at Houston, but you know, our recruiting classes that Dana orchestrated and the way we played our last year, I mean, we were, I think we lost one game in overtime and the other at the last second as the clock, the game ended. And, you know, we went 5-6 and easily could have won 7 or 8 that year. But with Dana's hard work for 3 years and the way we recruited under him and the way we were developing our players, you know, Dana never gets any credit for that, but a lot of that credit does go to Dana Dimmel and that staff who were just not just great coaches, John, but great people. I mean, literally great people. We all get along. You know, there's never an argument. There's never a cross word. I mean, just a lot of mutual respect. And you know what? At the end of the day, that's what makes any place a great place. It's the people. It's the human element sometimes that we never really factor in on paper when you look at a place. And I'll tell you this, with all the other greatness that UTEP has to offer and El Paso has to offer, the human element of our staff and our players is as good as I've ever been around. And it's just really makes it fun to get up and walk in that office every day and see those guys and work side by side. And you just can't wait to get to the field and get it done. It's just wonderful, man.
The rest of the UTEP defensive staff, Matt Wallerstedt, who of course has the front, Josh Brown and Trevin Wade in the secondary. How familiar were you with them before you got here?
You know, I wasn't. I knew Matt Wallerstedt. We went back probably knowing each other 20 plus years. We had spent time together and had run in the same circles, but I didn't know Josh Brown. I didn't know T. Wade at all. But, you know, when I looked at, you know, and talked to some of the people that I knew that knew them, man, I got nothing but great feedback. I mean, and since I've been there, they're the whole group, the whole defensive staff. I'm so fortunate to inherit such a knowledgeable staff. You know, we have 86 years collectively together, and we work off of that. And that's one of the things that I said when I got there. I added up everybody's experience right there on our grease board and said, hey, I want to work off this, not off this. And it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, I've coached 33 years, as you mentioned a while ago, and together that staff and I, we have 86 years. And if we just work off all my knowledge, and it's a dictatorship where you leave 50 plus years on the table of a lot of hard work and a lot of knowledge. And those guys have been absolutely wonderful, all of them. We got two great GAs in Jake Samet and Jordan Hopkins, who bring a lot of young intellect to our room. But it's been really good. I mean, when I say I lean on them, we use a lot of their ideas and their thoughts and their experience. And, you know, it's just been good. And you look at Matt and Josh, they have a ton of experience coordinating between themselves. So they've been in that foxhole before, and that's helpful. And T Wade, you know, he played in the NFL 8 years, and, you know, when he brings an idea to the table, I mean, he backs it up with about 25 clips of pro football, you know, of some of the best in the business, including himself doing it. So, you know, we've leaned on each other. We're a very unified room. Again, I listen to those guys, and they're very, very sharp and very, very good coaches and do a great job with their players. So it's just been a wonderful, wonderful inherit on my part to inherit those guys and all of them be the type guys they are, but also the type coaches with a ton of knowledge to bring to the table. And they all do a great job of handling their players. And it's just been, I just can't say it enough, John. It's just been a blast. It's been fun. We have a really good time in there together.
As you mentioned, you do have some history with UTEP football and the Sun Bowl. That game in 1983, the Sun Bowl game, was the 50th ever Sun Bowl. SMU, your alma mater, against Alabama. How cold was it that day?
Well, I'll tell you something. It was Hawaiian climates up until game day. And I guess back in those days, you know, you didn't have all the technology to know what was coming. I personally and our team didn't even know it was going to be cold. And we woke up, and I want to say, I don't want to exaggerate, I want to say it was in the teens or early 20s or the low 20s, but the wind must have been blowing 30 miles an hour. And all I know is it was freezing weather. I don't know how cold it was, but it felt like it was below zero to me. I had never been that cold in my life growing up in Orange, Texas, but it was freezing. I do remember that. I don't know how far I'm off on the temperature, but it was windy and very, very cold.
Well, and the distinction even to this day is that 1983 SMU Alabama Sun Bowl game, the coldest Sun Bowl game in game history. So that's certainly a distinction that you own. As you mentioned, you also competed twice against the Miners while a member of the Mustangs, 1982 in the Sun Bowl, 1985 at Texas Stadium, SMU winning both. Does anything stand out in your mind all these years later from those two games?
Yeah, you know, they were good games, and they got after us. They were physical. They were well coached. You know, they were just good football. I just remember that. I remember after the 82 game thinking to myself that 85 game is going to be no different. And they came into Texas Stadium. I can't remember the final score. I just remember it being a pretty close game for most of the game, but just the physicality that they brought in, how hard they played. And you could see that on video going into the game. Or I say video, it was 16 millimeter back in those days, but it was had a lot of respect for them. You know, just they were always well coached and competed against us at a very high level.
Just curiously, do you recall who UTEP's head coach was back then?
Bob Stoll, right?
No, it was right before Bob. It was Bill Young. You remember Bill?
I do remember Bill. I didn't remember him being the head coach in my mind, just off the top of my head. But I do remember Bill Young. There's no doubt about it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, worked with Grant Taft for all those years at Baylor. Going back to your time at SMU, a terrific era of Mustangs football. How the heck did you wind up there?
You know, to be honest with you, I had got a little attention from them, but I had got recruited very heavily by Southern Mississippi. I had done an official visit in December to Southern Miss, and Bobby Collins was the head football coach, and they had recruited me very, very hard. And in that January, about mid-January, Ron Meyer took the New England Patriots head job, and Bobby Collins got it. And they called me, Whitey Jordan, who was a legendary OC, and Bill Clay, legendary DC. They were both the guys recruiting me. And actually, Bill Clay spent some time at UTEP.
Sure did.
Not too long ago, but he's my position coach, still a dear friend, lives in College Station, still coach at Oklahoma State. I have breakfast with him every Saturday morning if I'm in town and he's in town. But they both called me and said, look, we can't offer you right now at SMU, but your offer at Southern Mississippi still stands. And I said, I'm not worried about Southern Mississippi. I'm worried about playing for you guys. I mean, I was real, real impressed with of course, Bobby Collins, my head coach, and then Whitey Jordan and Bill Clay had both recruited me very strongly. And I really was adamant on playing for that staff. I just really had kind of fallen in love with them. So they called me the last week of January and said, hey, we've lost a guy and we want to get you up and let you come see this place. We want to offer you a scholarship. So anyway, I went up, visited. We played in Texas Stadium at the time where the Cowboys played. And I never will forget, they walked me on the field and put me right in the middle of that star and said, what else can we do? I said, nothing. I commit, you know. That was a pretty big deal for a snotty-nosed kid from Orangeville, Texas, to stand in the middle of that star. And I was a big Dallas Cowboy fan anyway, so it didn't take much more than that. But it was very lucky, played for a great staff. We won a lot of games and, you know, had a really nice career there as far as have a chance to be an SMU Mustang.
And to attend a school with the academic prowess of SMU as well had to be a thrill.
You know, it did. It's a great academic school, and felt like I got a great degree. Got some pretty good culture there as well. And I always joke, everybody said, how did you like your, how was your experience? I said, it was wonderful. I said, I loved SMU. I said, you know, I was a country boy come to town, you know, when I got there. And I always joke, said, it took me about 2 years to figure out they were actually making fun of me when I got there, and I didn't even know it. but no, I had a great experience, man. It was more fun than I could enjoy, and played for a great staff. That my whole staff stayed intact, all but two coaches my whole 5 years.
Wow.
One guy got out, and the other one, I think, had some issues that they couldn't protect him on. But other than that, I had the same head coach, same position coach. You know, and I was very fortunate through my career. I played, had one position coach in high school. That was my dad. And he was a tough, no-nonsense guy. Then I got to SMU, and I had Coach Bill Clay for 5 years. And he was as tough as my dad. And I never knew any different. But I tell you this, when I got out and started coaching, I was prepared to be a coach at a young age because of my high school coach and my college coaches. I mean, they really, really prepared me. You know, I was just fundamentally, and how to coach, how to treat people, how to act, how to show toughness. I mean, I was very fortunate to be around some really, really great coaches when I played.
You know, in reading about your playing career, I've seen you referred to as a DB, a linebacker. Were you one of the two of those? Were you a hybrid? What were you?
You know, I was a very lousy college player, by the way. But I played DB. I played DB, and I got a funny story about that. So I was a quarterback in high school, and got there, and you know, they didn't watch me throw too many passes before they moved me to the secondary. Okay. Anyway, long story short, you know, I played with some really, really, really incredible DBs. I was surrounded by great players, and, you know, the experience that I got, you know, when I got there, I never will forget. I thought to myself, I'll never play. You know, I'll never play. I mean, these guys are just freaks all around me, you know? And I think it's helped me as a coach, John, because I struggled to, I mean, I ended up being a 4-year letterman, but man, I was on special teams, early in my career, got to where I did get in some games defensively. But the story I'm going to tell you is funny is, we're getting ready to play Texas. And, it was my junior year, and Coach Clay brought me in and said, look, we're going to go to this 3-4 nickel package, and you're going to start as the boundary outside linebacker. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm going to start against Texas. Well, we won the game 44-7. Mm-hmm. And at that time, nobody was putting points on Texas like that or beating them like that. You know, that just didn't happen. And Coach Clay said the biggest mistake about doing that, and that was my only game to start. You know, I played in games. I played on all four special teams. But one mistake he said he made starting in that game, he said I was over in his office every Monday wanting to know when we were going to go back to that 3-4 nickel package so I could go into the boundary and be the boundary outside backer. So I drove him crazy from that point on. But anyway, though, no, that was kind of my game. And, you know, like I said, I played with some great players, had a great experience, wouldn't trade it for the world. But again, you know, I think it's made me a better coach because I remember, you know, how I had to grind just to get on the bus and make it on the special teams and get in the games defensively. And I think when you go through that as a player, I think it makes you a better coach because it really lets you remember how that felt. And I think it helps you dealing with players. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of great coaches out there that were great college players. I would say I was a average college player that had to work to make it happen, you know? But with that said, I think it's made me a better football coach, because it didn't come as easy for me. And, you know, that's a tough feeling, you know, it's especially when you put everything you got into it. So I think in handling players, it's really helped me and have the understanding about how they feel in that same situation, John.
As you alluded to, you come from a coaching family. Your father, Ed, was a Hall of Fame Texas high school coach. You had two brothers that also were coaches. Was there ever any doubt that you would be a coach?
No, sure it wasn't, you know. And for the longest, I grew up on that yellow dog every Thursday and Friday as a kid and keeping stats on the sideline. And, you know, my dad, I was a field house rat, man. I was at that field house every day and Saturdays and Sundays and just really couldn't get enough of it. But I always knew I wanted to coach. I just knew that. And then when I got into college, I really enjoyed the college game. I thought recruiting was really, really cool from getting recruited. And I always said, you know, I do have enough personality to me. I know I can be a good recruiter. I know I can do that. And, you know, it was going to be a GA when I, you know, I had already kind of had that set up. And then we got the death penalty. So I had to. I always said I propped as a coach. I went to Trinity Valley for my first year and then coached there, coached secondary. And then I another legendary Texas guy, Jim Hess.
Yes.
Yeah. Great coach. Was the head coach at New Mexico State for a long time. He hired me at Stephen F. Austin, and I was there for 4 years and was actually supposed to go out to New Mexico State with him, but he couldn't hire me till the summer. And then between that time when he went out there and, you know, me trying to get there, I actually got hired at Southern Mississippi. So I missed Coach Hess and that going out there with him, but we remain great friends today and thought the world of him. But, you know, that was kind of my early career, you know, as far as knowing I wanted to coach. I just knew it. And then the college game, I just fell in love with it. And, you know, that's kind of how I got going. Then my career, you know, just kind of has gone, you know, I don't know if taking off is the right word, but, you know, any time you're in the coaching business, you got to be willing to grind it out. And that's kind of how my career's been, but it's been a blast. And every stop I've made, whether it's been junior college or 1AA football, you know, FCS to the mid-levels to, you know, being in Power Five schools, I've loved every place, and every place has a special place in my heart, along with the players that I've coached at each and every place. So it's just been a great ride, man. And, you know, I'm just looking so forward to getting back out to El Paso Sunday and just carrying on with spring ball and, you know, keep developing these players like we're doing and just being a part of something real special out there.
Specifically, what was your father's influence on you?
You know, he was a real strict disciplinarian. You know, he was a fundamental coach, very, very organized, and was a real players coach. You know, the players loved him. And, you know, I never will forget, I went back recruiting my high school about 15 years or so after my daddy died. And the coach there was a little frustrated at the time. And he and I got to talk, and I said, well, Coach, what's wrong? He said, don't take this the wrong way. He said, but this has just been a really hard job for me here. I said, well, what's the tough part about it? You know, he said, the tough thing about it is your dad still runs this school. I said, well, Coach, you know he's been dead for 15 years, right? And he said, yeah. He said, that's the problem. He said, he's been dead for 15 years and he still runs it with the administration, with the faculty, with the community, with the parents. I said, his influence is so strong, I can't even overcome it. Well, I took that as a great compliment from that coach, you know. And with that said, you know, I think that kind of says it all. You know, he was very loyal, I mean, to a fault, to his superintendent, his principals, just with to authority, you know. And I guess those, how he got up every day and attacked his day from early in the morning to late at night, to just the relationship he had with the staff and the players and his commitment to the game, the X and O part of it, his organization. He was something else. And, you know, I've always tried to live up to the man he was and the coach he was. And it's always been very, very hard because he was real, real special, especially when it came to handling people. You know, he was just the best.
I want to dig into your coaching career, and I'm glad you brought Jim Hess up because I was going to ask you about him. Southern Miss, you worked for Jeff Bauer.
Yes.
What was it like to work for Jeff, who had an unbelievable and amazing run at Southern Miss? And when they let him go, my first comment was, careful what you wish for. Careful what you wish for. And Southern Miss went through some rocky times when they let Jeff Bauer go. Talk about your time with Jeff.
Well, I'll say this. You know, Jeff Bauer was the quarterback coach when I played at SMU. So he and I had a really good relationship. And, you know, I'd been coaching only 4 years, I think, or 5 years when he hired me at Southern Mississippi to coach the linebackers. And Jeff was really good. Jeff was a great mind. He was a real organized guy, you know, and did a really good job with the players. But, you know, that era at Southern Mississippi, you know, we won a lot of games when I was there. He won a lot of games. He had a great run. Still never really understood why they fired Jeff. I mean, he, you know, I don't know. I mean, he, if you look at the games he won there and his track record, it was unbelievable. But, you know, I don't know that Southern Mississippi has been the same since Jeff left, to be honest with you. I think they've made a real good hire in Will Hall. I know Will. I knew his daddy real well. I think he's an excellent hire. And if anybody can get that thing back to the where Southern Miss used to be, it would be Will Hall. But that place has never been the same since they got rid of Jeff Bauer. And again, never really understood why that happened. I mean, he had an excellent record, ran a very clean program, and was just a really, really good coach. So, but, you know, we all know how tough the coaching profession can be, and no different at Southern Miss than most of them out there in the country. You know, sometimes, you know, it's not just winning that counts. It's winning the right way. And I think sometimes, you know, expectations are unrealistic at some places, you know. I mean, like I said, Jeff was in a bowl every year and was winning those games and, you know, just had a great track record. But he was really good to work for. I learned a lot from Jeff. And he, like I said, I'd been in junior college and FCS level, and that was my first Division I job. So,